Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Steven gave us a lot of news. Yes, indeed. DeMarvion Overshown's 21-day window is activated today, although he was very cautious to talk about how he's going to need time to ramp up and get into football shape. Also, with Mingo's ramp-up period coming to an end, he did say definitively that Jonathan Mingo is being activated. So look for him this weekend.
Kevin, somebody asked something on the fan text. Now that it's noon, I think it's important we ask this question.
Okay.
If they finish the Super Monster this Friday, will you buy their meal and their kids?
Ooh.
You're not buying their kids. Their kids' meals.
Oh. You know
for
what?
For this one person.
I might.
For everybody.
Let me ponder that.
Or maybe for everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Samantha Ponder.
But what is happening with you?
You said ponder.
All right. So let me consider that. I absolutely might be willing to do that.
Woo-hoo!
All right. But right
don't
now.
Don't sell your kids.
Yeah. Agreed. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Dip it and rip it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Alec real quick because Alec. It sounds like things have gone from bad to worse for the Saints.
Yeah, in a year that we all expected absolutely nothing, they are getting just absolutely obliterated with injuries. Their running back, Kendre Miller, tore his ACL in yesterday's game. He is out for the remainder of the year. He was really starting to carve out a role in that offense. And then, speaking of their offense, their center, Eric McCoy, is believed to have suffered torn biceps. Jeez. He will be out for the season. And that's not a minor injury. He's one of the best centers in football. So they're going to be missing one of the best run blockers and pass blockers in the NFL.
Well, great. There you go.
Now everything's ruined. If you're a Saints fan.
Oh, okay. Obviously. All right. Now, this is not necessarily wanker of the weekend, but it does seem a bit weird. Do you think it's weird that the 1-5 Ravens are almost a touchdown favorite over the Bears? Now, one would assume, of course, that's because Lamar Jackson's coming back, but that doesn't change the fact that their defense is still not good.
Yeah.
Would you be offended by that if you were the Bears?
Should be. I think if you're Ben Johnson, you'd take that to your team that way.
Okay.
Because he's been very, like, he believes this team is going to be better than it is. And obviously, is it Dennis Allen's doing a really good job with their defense up there? Like, they've gotten more productive, and that offense is coming together. I'm not going to say that Caleb Williams looks great. There were moments, dude, that offense looked clunky again. But then they have big plays. They have big playability. And I'm afraid that whenever they become kind of like the Detroit offense, where they are clicking on all cylinders and get to that point, I'm afraid of that team. So, I'd be offended.
Now, can you go ahead and give me cut number 17? Because this man broke a Tom Brady record.
May taking a deep shot down the field. Booty is down there. Touchdown.
so much booty.
Obviously, that's an amazing call. Drake May became the third player under the age of 24 with 200-plus passing yards and 100-plus passer rating in six straight games. More importantly, against the Titans, 91.3% completion percentage overthrows Tom Brady for the best single-game completion percentage by a Patriot. I don't know if he had to destroy his phone or anything after the game.
Overthrows Brady, doesn't overthrow booty.
True. Yeah. They worked in cooperation.
Right now, like everybody keeps talking about the deep ball that Drake May throws. I think he has the best throw right now. Like,
okay.
You watch the way that he... Now, I'm not saying that he's as cerebral. Like, Dak sees the game right now. Dak's a puppet master. He's orchestrating this thing beautifully. I really like the way I'm watching what Dak's doing at the line. Drake May, when I watch him throw, I'm just like, dude, those receivers got to love what's coming out of his hands, because this is all, it's really nice right now. And he's living up to, it used to be run around and make plays. Now he's in pocket and still can also break away and make those plays. Got to also love what Vrabel's doing up there as well.
Now let's go to the coaching staff that you don't really love anything about what they're doing. That is the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to give it to Mike McDaniel, cut number 18. How he feels about his team right now.
They wanted to win, okay? They did. And they didn't do it. And it's all of us. So I don't think anybody's spared from accountability. I think we all need to look at the mirror.
They lost 31-6 to the Cleveland Browns. In that run, Quinshon Judkins ran for three touchdowns, and the Dolphins went ahead and benched Tua, who is 12 for 23 for 100 yards and three interceptions. They put Quinn Ewers in there. This was the first time the Browns scored more than 17 points in 10 months.
Really?
Yes.
That, hold on. That's a long time.
It is a long
time. Of not
time.
Scoring 10, that many points.
It is.
Jeez. That's just, dude, this is where the Dolphins are. They can't get anything together. And I'll give Cleveland credit. Like, they fight their butts off each week. They just haven't been good enough to win.
That's probably fair.
But Miami, they kind of look like and have. They've looked at times, they've looked like they had something left, but they don't.
I know they are not the worst. They don't have the worst record. Is Miami the most pathetic team in
yes.
the NFL? Wow. Okay. All right, let's...
Oh, I don't know. The Jets exist.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You got to pick.
Crap.
I know the Jets have a worse record.
No, they're the second most pathetic team in the NFL.
To the Jets?
Jets are pathetic right
okay.
now, dude.
All right.
I've watched them.
Okay. I appreciate that. Now, let's go to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, per Rich Eisen on the broadcast, became the first player to throw five touchdown passes in an international series game.
Look at that.
When told about this after the game, Stafford smiled.
Good day, fellas.
Actually, he kind of went down that path.
No, he didn't.
No, but his same idea. He smiled and said, "Do I get a sword or something?"
Dude.
Do we need to make sure upon arrival back to the States, because I can see how they would not let you travel on the plane with a sword.
I'm not a carry-on. But I bet that he could have packed that one away.
I guess it's a team plane. And you're like, do you trust Matthew Stafford to just have a sword on the plane? Does somebody need to get him a sword?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. Can you be knighted if you are not English?
Has there ever been an American knighted? We are not cultured enough to know the answer. We'll get the answer.
Text in if you know the answer, because I think that he deserves that, at least.
Well, if he doesn't get it, they do still roll back to the States 5-2. That's their best opening record since they won the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
And he's got a longer trip than most.
That
because he has to go all the way across the United States.
That is true. I really thought you were going to say something else there, but yes, that is true. All right.
I have an answer.
Oh, great.
Plenty of Americans have been knighted.
What? Yeah.
Including Bill Gates, okay. Angelina Jolie, well, and Steven Spielberg.
So not our best.
Yeah.
Wow.
One
Take
of
that,
our,
Bill Gates.
One of our best.
One of our best filmmakers. I think Matt Stafford deserves it.
Okay.
Get on it, Queen. We'll be talking. Oh, she's
She died. They have a king now.
Well, we'll be talking about that here at 1 o'clock.
By the way. We will?
Yeah. Get ready. Oh, okay. Get ready for the heist of all heists.
All right. Well, I have a sad story for you. Former NFL running back Doug Martin, famously known as the muscle hamster, he died at the age of 36. Now, news came out this morning that he died in Oakland police custody. I don't know, though, if they picked him up because clearly something was happening, mm-hmm. or if he'd been that, I don't know.
Dang, man.
But yeah, so he passed away 36, dude, man.
I still remember when he jumped on the stage and everybody was trying to get him in fantasy football. And it was just like watching him for a stretch of time was the most fun.
Yes. Yes. Now, do you need another, I guess, positive story?
Sure.
How would you feel if
positively?
Okay. How would you feel if you showed up for game day?
I'd be happy.
And your defensive coordinator said, you're going to be the guy that lays on the ground to try to stop the tush push. Please tell me you saw this.
I wouldn't want to be that person that day.
Okay.
I don't think it's effective either.
Oh, it was.
Okay.
The second time.
Yeah.
Tyler Batty, TTY. He laid down and acted as a human shield. And of course, this is Brian Flores, who has come up with this idea, potentially the biggest step forward to stopping the tush push we've seen.
Was he laying on his stomach, on his back? Did he have his head up on his hand?
No, he wasn't.
His hand on his hip?
He wasn't posing.
All right.
No.
Human. I don't know how to human shield. I'm just trying to imagine this. I'll go watch the highlights.
Okay. But he definitely.
I didn't watch a lot of that game. I didn't see it. So that's okay. Frustrating.
Well, he wasn't posing. He was kind of like laying down on his stomach, but I think he also had his knees up.
Okay.
And so. Shut up. Shut up. Both of you, shut up.
So, free birds on Friday, right?
Yep. Yeah. It'll be a free birds, Addison.
The Eagles won that game. Jalen Hurts, 19-23, 326 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, had a perfect passer rating against the NFL's number one pass defense going in, and he was just the third Eagles quarterback to record a perfect passer rating in a game, along with Donovan McNabb and Nick Foles.
One's a Super Bowl champion.
That is true. Now, a couple of other noteworthy things coming out of that game. Brandon Graham has talked with the Eagles about coming out of retirement again after they lost Za'Darius Smith to retirement. If you want to focus in on the Vikings, they went 1-for-6 in the red zone. That was the worst red zone to touchdown rate for Minnesota in a game with 6 or more red zone drives this century.
That was poor. Very
poor.
It
really was.
And I'm not going to say Carson Wentz had to throw a lot. He missed a lot of targets in that game, dude. An absolute lot of targets. And there, Justin Jefferson looked so frustrated on the sideline at the end of that loss. Like, he was just shaking it. You know how when you see is it your mom and she's just sitting there just stewing and she's just shaking her head like, no. That's exactly how Justin Jefferson looked. Somebody's in trouble in that locker room.
One more thing coming out of that game. Devontae Smith caught the longest pass of his career, 79 yards for a touchdown. Also, Charvarius Ward was put on injured reserve with a concussion and the Jets bench Justin Fields in favor of Tyrod Taylor, although they said that is still a work in progress. They don't want to make a rash decision at quarterback because if Glenn came out and said, who really gives an F, that would be unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. And then they would definitely be the most pathetic team.
Yeah, there you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway and we'll kick it off with Dallas Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes after crushing the Commanders. Next on The Fan.
Snap to Prescott. First and goal, looking, standing, over the middle, into the end zone. Touchdown to the post, Jake Ferguson. How about that?
Indeed. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan on a Victory Monday. It's time for your Dallas Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes after whooping the Commander's ass. 877-881-1053. I'm going to start with a thank you note for Washington for having a false start on their first drive to force a 3-and-out because they were going to go for it. on fourth down. And this was one of those moments, and I know Dan Quinn loves to go, all the Dans love to go for it, but I was mad because I was like, no, we did it. We stopped you. It was fourth down, kick the ball. Even though I realize that's not really how football goes anymore. But then they got a false start and they had to punt it and we had a three and out. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
I do love that. I also would love for all the Tolos named Dan out there. Do you love to go for it? That's what I would like to know. I feel like most of them would say yes.
Okay.
I think their name is Dan.
I think you're probably right about
that.
Doer
of good deeds where women are concerned.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know what that's from. We talked about this with Mickey. No thank you note to a deep handoff, shotgun snap, or deep pitch when you're 1 yard in front of the goal line, or it's third and one, or third and two, or fourth and one, or fourth and two. They did the handoff essentially 4.5, maybe 5 yards deep in the end zone, and that led to a safety. No thank you note to that.
Okay. I got a question about this because it seems like, doesn't it feel, this is just a feeling, Kevin, that somebody's always able to pick up 6 yards against the Cowboys yes. when they're on the goal line like that.
Yes.
How are we not able to?
Do you ever, quick question about that in football, do you ever like think to yourself that person would have broken away every single time because they run like untouched into the end zone and there's no one with them. And you're like, it's a good thing that wasn't on the 20 or else that would have gone for 80 yards. I don't know if you ever think that.
No, but okay. I appreciate what you're thinking. Quick slant. I suggested earlier, what's the risk there? Cornerback pick six right there.
You know? Right.
But now you have George Pickens.
Yes.
I'm picking up 40 yards no matter what.
It does feel like that.
I'm throwing the ball deep from there. And honestly, Kevin, I don't need much time. Pickens go. Let me throw it high, and it might get intercepted. Probably not, though. It doesn't feel like Pickens is going to let it get intercepted.
Right.
The other thing is pass interference. Again, that's 30, 40 yards downfield. And then the other part, the other thing could. So I want them to have a few more plays, and I'm – Schottenheimer seems to do this each week. He seems to go, you know what? I'm going to add an extra play just in case for next time. And I would prefer them not do that anymore.
Yeah.
He does feel strongly about his offensive, about what they have offensively up front and Javonte Williams. He feels like they can always get yards, but I agree with you. That was a deep handoff.
From the 817, thank you, Jaden Daniels, for being so inaccurate early in the game. From the 858, thank you to Marcus Mariota for throwing a can of corn.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Off to Bland to get another pick six. You know what? Go ahead and give me cut number 8 because it did end up being a can of corn. I thought the pressure, thank you, bonus thank you note to the Cowboys pressure on that play, which I think helped make it happen.
He just got the snap off, flushed out by Odighizuwa, and he's going to be almost hit by Clark. Throws it away. It's intercepted. He threw up a duck. Here comes Bland down the sideline. It's a pick six. The first touch of a ball by a Cowboys cornerback this year.
The first touch of a ball.
Really? Yeah, because I guess Donovan Wilson had gotten
I do believe, Kevin, Randy Stewart had only had one, and Kyer Elam has a pass deflection.
Wow.
Other than that, there were no pass deflections by your cornerbacks this year, and that's rough.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good, but it worked out this time. You know what? Let's talk about the cornerback. So Washington, after the safety, they get a touchdown. But thank you note to Jerron Bland for stopping what looked like was going to be a two-point conversion. Like that looked like that was going to be not quite walk the dog, but pretty close. And all of a sudden, Jerron Bland flies in there. So double thank you note to him for looking like a freaking middle linebacker in that game. And on the next drive, along with Kenneth Murray, they made a tackle to force another three and out.
Yes,
and
that was on the sideline too, right? Yeah, yes, that was a really good play, man. Yeah, I noticed Jerron Bland a lot more than just the pick six. Jerron Bland had imprint on this game for sure in big moments. It wasn't just like, oh, that was a random second down play. It was like, no, it's money time. Jerron Bland's like, I'm getting paid. It's my turn.
Man, you're so right about that because you're right.
You got to make the random second down plays.
And the pick six gets more attention, but that tackle directly made the difference. And shout out to Kenneth Murray as well because he was involved in that play. That makes the direct difference between you have to punt and first down, continue down the field.
Yeah, man, that was very, very important for sure.
Now, no thank you note to Daron Payne for the stretch of the game where it felt like he knocked the ball down 800 times in a row.
I realize
it was probably only twice, but it felt like he was knocking every pass down and I wanted him to stop.
But they lost.
That's true.
So if he knocked every pass down,
okay,
and somehow they still lost,
then I feel like they probably would have won. But here's the thing. That goes with this no thank you note as well. No thank you note to Tyler Smith. He negated a Dak scramble for a first down. And I realize they ended up getting the pass to Jake Ferguson for a first down anyway after that. But, and we'll probably go more in depth on this tomorrow when Steven talks about the penalties and that is what's keeping the offense from being even better. That's a great example right there. I know they got the first down, but any penalty that you have that costs you a first down feels like it has the potential to be disastrous.
Let us revisit, Kevin, the no thank you of not kicking the midfield field goals.
Agreed.
John Machota has a quote from Brandon Aubrey. I've set myself apart with a particular set of skills, I guess, that are hard to replicate. So I just want to keep showing that every week I can. Then he was asked if he has a personal field goal distance goal. And he said, no, just kick the ones they put in front of me. No thank you to not putting that one in front of him, but saving it for Denver. Because as the Cowboys head to Mile High Stadium this week, it is time for an 80-yard field goal.
Do you kind of want to hear Brandon Aubrey and his particular set of skills speech against Liam Neeson?
Yes.
Okay.
Alec,
if you have the producing time, we could play those together.
We need to reach out to the Cowboys and see if we can get him to like voice over something like that.
Oh, yes.
Because he's awesome.
But what I do have, I don't have money. But what I do have is a particular set of skills.
He's going to get paid even more, too.
Do you think Brandon Aubrey should have more money than Liam Neeson? Is my question.
Liam Neeson's brought a lot of happiness, people. He said some things people were very upset about at one point.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
But, from the 817, good point. Aubrey could make it from like 95 in Denver. Kevin, I don't think there's a limit to the distance that Brandon Aubrey could kick in Denver. But we'll have to wait. We'll start talking about that on Wednesday.
Okay.
Right?
So
right now we're celebrating yesterday.
The only limit is our human comprehension.
Yeah, our stupid human heads.
Hey, I know we haven't talked about him much this year, and he's newer to the team. But, man, thank you note to Bridges as well because he also had an open field tackle that forced a punt.
Yeah.
Did he get away with a defensive pass interference another time? Maybe.
You know, the the analytics. I would love to see the analytics on missed tackles and open field tackles. I know you said you're done saying nice open field tackle, but the analytics on that, I feel like have to be important now. You know, like when you win a game, turnovers and missed tackles, I feel have to have a huge impact on what your game is. If you're a good tackling team, you're not getting beat defensively. And this Cowboys team needs to turn into that. They have to be better at it. Nice work this week, at least.
I really like this. Even my mom texted me during the game saying that kicker guy needs a raise. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's how you know. From the 817, thank you note to Jadeveon Clowney for being everywhere at the right time. Man, that's a great description for yesterday. It wasn't the most gaudy game statistically, though obviously he filled up parts of the stat sheet. But it did feel like when you needed a play or when you saw a play get made that frequently his name was involved in that play. So, yeah, absolutely props to him. And Steven mentioned it. Brandon Aubrey now most 60-plus yard field goals made in NFL history.
I want to say thank you. I don't have many no thank yous, Kevin. I'm sorry. I'm in a really good mood today. But I want to say thank you to your receiving core. And Kevin, I'm asking the question right now. Do you in fact have two number one wide receivers?
I think so. I think
we argued about this before the season when they said it. We were like, come on, guys. And right now, one carried you while your other was out.
And you saw yesterday, and like you asked Steven about it, and he gave a great description, is what a weapon George Pickens is, either because he'll make the catch, because he'll draw pass interference.
Or he'll create space for somebody else.
Yes, even though I thought that pass interference call was soft. But, or, like you said, he's that much of a threat that you have to be like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Leave him out there?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So if you're drawing up plays, which Brian Schottenheimer is doing, I don't know if you've heard that or not.
I have heard that.
If you're drawing up plays and you go, all right, if I send him deep, which receiver do I want to put underneath this? Because there's going to be space to exist.
I see.
The creativity that comes along with it has just got to be an absolute blast.
Okay. Well, one of those thank you notes does go to George Pickens then, and his combination with Javonte Williams. We've talked about it, but the Cowboys and how they've been doing in the last 2 minutes of the first half is freaking unbelievable. You got that Dak throw, and Pickens fights through a defender and the sun to catch it for 44 yards with 23 seconds left in the half. And you're like, oh man, maybe we can get a field goal. And then Javonte Williams breaks off the 32-yard carry that it took 6 yards and two people at the end to make the tackle. Mm-hmm. And that was the play. I'm not kidding. Noah watched it and he goes, wow. Because he just kept staying up. And then finally another person dove into the picture. And you're like, well, that's what you're going to need, because he was clearly going to drag that one guy into the end zone. And that led to a touchdown at a point where I was like, if you could get points, that would be great. I wasn't thinking you're going to score a touchdown, but those two plays, bang, bang, touchdown.
Did you thank Donovan Ezeraku yet?
Yeah. Are you sure it's not Ezeraku?
Ezeraku.
Yes, Donovan Ezeraku gets his first official NFL sack, I do believe. And he continues to be somebody who at times is there to cause some chaos. Not all times.
According to Brandon is Right on Twitter. I'm going to throw that one out there for you. And according to PFF, through week 7, 67.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
0.4 pass rush grade, which is third for rookie defensive ends. 10 defensive stops, tied for first. 70.8 defensive grade, first. 14 pressures, that's tied for second. And 13 tackles, that's first. So he's, as we've been saying,
yeah,
every week he just looks like he's getting better and better as we go along.
Yep.
Like every week you're like, okay, I can get excited about that. And then you get your first sack.
Yeah.
And like that's a good positive feeling right there.
And if the counter is, yeah, but he still gets washed out on some plays. Sure. That's going to happen to literally everybody, but especially a potentially undersized rookie. Man, this might have been the play of the game. And we already mentioned the Dron Bland pick six. Kenny Clark, by the way, almost got Mariota. It was a weird play because it felt like Mariota had forever to throw the ball in terms of time, but all of that time just about after 1 second was under duress. So he was still up and moving, but man, he was getting harassed on that play, and I know Kenny Clark was a big part of that. But I wanted to go back to the Shamar James play. Man, it was a play that I had to, Osa as well. Osa was getting a lot of pressure on Mariota on that pick six as well. It was a play I had to go back and watch a couple of times because I was like, why did the ball just like fire out like that? And Shamar James, man, he nailed Jaden Daniels. The unfortunate part, because you don't want somebody to get hurt, was the way he came down. And now that looks like that might be a problem for a few weeks for the Commanders, but that sack forced fumble, that was impressive. That was really impressive.
Yeah, the defense, Kevin, they were tired of hearing it.
Yeah,
about how bad they looked. They asked their coach to give them opportunities. He allowed them to take those opportunities. They were successful. Now, okay, you've done it once. You did it against the Jets recently too.
Yeah.
Now do it again against the Broncos. And then you'll probably stop hearing about it. But, Kevin, now I also kind of feel like we have to be on this defense's case all the time in order to get them motivated.
So, I mean,
I don't think they're good enough to go out there and just kind of piddle around like that. So I think they need to get better.
And so, look, from the 214, no thank you note to Luke McCaffrey for killing my six-leg parlay. I'm with you on that. I love underdog. Promo code Masterpiece, get you $100 in bonus money or bets. But the fact that the Cowboys run defense decided to show up cost me $190 yesterday. I made three.
You bet against the Cowboys.
Well, because of their run defense. I thought they were going to win, but one of the plays that I made was Jacory Kroski-Merritt to get higher than 68.5 yards rushing. Didn't we all think going into that game that that was probably going to happen? Cowboys run defense was badass, only got 33 yards. That killed a $100 play, and then my $90 play died when Shamar James took down Jaden Daniels. He only needed 14 yards more rushing. So I get it, but I make that trade for a Cowboys win. Now, if I could have hit at least one of them and gotten a Cowboys win, that would have been really great.
It would have been awesome for you as well. I would have been really happy for you.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, right now, how about we do some baseball nuggets?
Let's do it.
And let's start. Well, we'll get to one of the greatest performances of all time. But in the meantime, they're pressing things afoot in the American League Championship Series, where Vladimir Guerrero had another home run. I do believe that's six in this postseason. The Blue Jays win 6-2. I just saw something. Somebody texted in. They are a Blue Jays fan currently in Finland.
Whoa.
And so tonight, is their opportunity, and we've talked about it.
They're a Blue Jays fan in the land of Dallas Stars players.
Oh, maybe they can be a Blue Jays fan and a Stars fan.
Yeah.
Maybe they're also disappointed about the Stars passing.
Easy.
All right. So the Blue Jays have not been in the World Series, I believe, since 1993. The Mariners have never been in the World Series. Something's going to give tonight, 7-10. It's 3-3, but props to the Blue Jays for really making this a series at a time when it looked like it could have gotten away from them. But whether or not you think this game is to decide who gets swept by the Dodgers is neither here nor there. It'll be here in just a second. But you got to feel, who are you thinking tonight? George Kirby, Shane Bieber, slight edge for Toronto, the home team in the betting odds. Who is going to the World Series?
Kevin, I've been all about Seattle this whole time. Like I've just felt they were the team that was slugging the best. I felt like they had that going for them. But I also said very adamantly, this reminded me of the Rangers Astros series a couple of years ago in the ALCS. And I feel like I've gotten that out of it. Like this is going to be one of those tonight. I think Shane Bieber takes them down. I think that Toronto walks away at home with that, saying to their crowd, thank you very much. And the Canadians, hopefully they don't throw beer on a baby tonight, you know?
How often do you think about that?
Every day.
Wow, that's a lot.
Every time I open a beer, my first thought is, do not throw this on a baby like those Canadians would.
Okay. Oh, good to know.
I think it's a good reminder.
Yes.
Would you rather me throw a beer on a child?
What child? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. By the way, the world
movie theater.
The world that was a soda. The World Series will start on Friday, and you know what? Let's wait just another minute to talk about Shohei. I want to go back to Game 6. Cal Raleigh tied Game 6 in the 8th inning with a solo home run. Eugenio Suarez that was game 5 to put them ahead, and then Toronto strikes back to even up the series. So props to them for making it happen. Game 7 tonight doesn't get much more exciting than that. But let's talk about this man. Go ahead and give me cut number 22, please, sir.
In game 4 of the LCS, and there goes Ohtani. Shohei lighting up the highlights already. It's a leadoff home run after he struck out 3 in the top of the first.
Now, that's how it started. And you know what's amazing? He struck out 3 batters, then walked to the bench, grabbed a bat, hit a leadoff home run, just like
maybe the best consecutive at bats ever.
That's crazy. And keep in mind, he was also the starting pitcher who would win the game, but he became the second player in MLB postseason history to hit 3 home runs from the leadoff spot, joining Hall of Famer George Brett, who did so in Game 3 of the 1978 ALCS. But we're just getting started. Go ahead and give me cut number 23, please.
Oh, my goodness! Shohei Ohtani! Wow! Up and over the roof! A majestic blast!
Now, Corey, don't mind the use of the word majestic. If we can go back to the very beginning of that cut for just a second. It goes out of the ballpark, and y'all always talk about how the bat sounds different. Listen to this sound, and then the announcer immediately is like, holy crap.
Oh, my goodness!
All right, so like, gone.
Did you hear the difference?
Oh, that, yes. I definitely did hear the difference. Now, here's what makes this all the crazier. Shohei Ohtani went into game 4 of that series. His previous 7 playoff games, he had 3 hits and 14 strikeouts in his previous 29 at-bats. So he was just awful, awful, awful. But then when we go to cut number 24, if you didn't see it, it looks like everybody in the stadium is standing when Shohei comes up to the plate and then he does this.
Ohtani, oh. Did he? Ohtani! Ohtani has done it again! His third home run!
Three home runs in addition to throwing six-plus innings. Levy gave up two hits, gets the win in the series clinching game. And this is how you know you had one of the most incredible games of all time. He had done jack S in this series, and he won NLCS MVP. That's crazy.
For a single game performance.
Yes, for a single game performance.
It was a closeout series. It was a series closeout moment. I guess that's why. And I don't know that anybody else really stood up to that, like as big as that was. I don't think that was caught up in the moment. Like this was I just closed them out almost single-handedly.
Good.
And dude, what I love so much too, like I understand they are the most stacked roster you could find. Sure. They have the most, they paid so much for this team. But watching when he does what he does, how amazed guys like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are at what that man just did, that's impressive enough to me. I'm impressed as a regular human. Those guys are legitimate all-star players that are like maybe Hall of Famers. And they're amazed by what their own teammate is doing. That's awesome to me.
So then a quick question, because I did not realize that these other two performances had happened until Mike Sielski and Jeff Passan got in on the conversation. So Shohei Ohtani, 6-plus innings, gets the win in a pennant-clinching game in which he also hit three home runs. Tony Cloninger...
Of course it was Tony Cloninger.
...threw a complete game... as a pitcher in the same game where he hit two grand slams. All right. So that's candidate number two.
All right.
Then there's candidate number three. I take you to June of 1971. For the Phillies, Rick Wise hit two home runs against the big red machine Cincinnati Reds, also struck out 12 and threw a no-hitter. So there's no doubt that this performance is bananas. But does it go ahead of the guy who hit two home runs in a regular season game against a juggernaut Reds team and also threw no hitter? Or what about the guy who hit two grand slams and threw a complete game?
Because Ohtani did throw 100 pitches.
Yes.
How many pitches did you say he threw that no hitter? Do we happen to have a pitch count on that?
I do not have a pitch count on that. I'm sorry.
Because if he would have been able to be as efficient as he was at the plate, hitting home runs as a pitcher, you know, striking out 10, maybe he finishes striking out 27. That would have been the greatest ever. But here we are having to debate this.
Well,
I'll go ahead and give him
the greatest in our lifetime, sure.
That's the one that I've seen. I'll give him that kind of like, you did it, man. Even though it wasn't a no-hitter, because technically, Kevin, it was a six-inning no-hitter. It was a modern-day no-hitter. Striking out 10.
It does feel like six innings is a modern no-hitter. Yeah. Now, I'll take you to some of the thoughts from his teammates. This is Max Muncy.
Oh, is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Shohei?
Brady, MJ, Gretzky, Shohei?
I don't think so, but that's just me. Like, I have a hard time saying you're better than Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth or whatever.
We'll see at the end of his career where he lands.
And I understand the completely different nature of what Shohei can do.
And the reaction right now, too, obviously.
Sure. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Including with his teammates. Max Muncy. I can't wait for when I'm a little bit older and my kids are asking about it. What's the greatest thing you've ever seen in baseball? I can't wait to pull up this game today. That's the single best performance in the history of baseball. I don't care what anybody says. Obviously, I don't know what happened like 100 years ago, but that's what he said. But that's the single best performance I've ever seen in my life. Now, what about Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts is an awesome player. Has been for many, many years. And this is what Mookie Betts said about Shohei and then about himself. It's like we're the Chicago Bulls and he's Michael Jordan.
What did he say he was?
I guess Scottie Pippen.
Bill Laimbeer.
Without the migraines.
I'm Luke Longley.
No, they're on the same team. Yeah. All right. So.
Ron Harper.
Oh, my God. I know there's more.
I'm letting you get the segment in.
Okay. So just incredible right there. Incredible performance. Oh my God. And Craig Hodges. Yes, yes. And incredible individual performance. But let's talk about
Freeman's definitely Ku coach, right? Or is he Pippen?
Oh, man. He's Ku coach because Freeman loves Shohei Ohtani. Go back on that second home run. Find somebody who looks at you the way Freddie Freeman looks at Shohei Ohtani. Because I hope if you're watching on Twitch, the YouTube, that's exactly what he did. Freddie Freeman, again, another outstanding player, could not believe what he had just seen from Shohei Ohtani. Now, for the Dodgers as a collective, the Dodgers are the first defending World Series champions to get back to the World Series since the Phillies did so in 2009. But of course, the Phillies lost. And so the Dodgers are looking to become the first repeat champions in 25 years. That starting rotation, including what Shohei Ohtani did. Do you know what their starting rotation ERA was for the NLCS?
0.63.
Ooh, 0.63. Dang! That is the lowest in the history of the NLCS or ALCS. So while Shohei's game was incredible, unimpeachable, unbelievable, that pitching staff just completed a series like no team in the history of those series.
That's amazing, dude.
And I think all of that feeds into the idea of whoever wins tonight, congratulations. I hope you can take it to five. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be a heavy underdog going into that World Series.
Yeah.
Whoever wins.
Yeah. I want it to feel like we're watching two juggernauts play.
For sure.
But I get it.
We're all just living in the Dodgers world at this point. Oh, by the way, something to keep an eye on.
Is this going
to
hurt the salary situation? Like, are they going to try and be like, look, we definitely need a cap? I'm very curious how this, if they win, or is that going to be, no, we need to have no cap so that we can do stuff like this.
I kind of wonder the TV ratings involved. And the reason why I say that is because I wonder if MLB puts their thumb on the scale if they look at the numbers and they've been really good. And they're like, no, people want a team to root for or against.
They want a super
like,
team.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is something, I'm sorry, I didn't even mention this earlier in the show. It's not a done deal, but it looks like it's just about a done deal. The San Francisco Giants are going to hire Tennessee head coach Tony Vitello as their new manager. So they're going to the college ranks for their new manager. He said on Saturday when he was out at a practice for Tennessee, it's not a done deal. And that was kind of where he left it at, but it looks like that's going to happen.
Sorry, Chop. Josh Heupel's next.
Yeah, man. Tough sports weekend for him.
Knoxville.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Hits and misses plus the heist you've been waiting for next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.